I have to say, I'm actually really excited to hear the rest of this podcast and where it's going, because I actually haven't been cured of my fascia ailments.
If a doctor can't cure his tight body, what chance do you and I have? This is really depressing.
You've been doing it all wrong all this time.
Welcome to The Genius of Wellness, a podcast brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. When my body's tight, all I can think of is wanting to be like Gumby, the lovable, flexible, bendable cartoon character. Truth is, we live our lives sitting and not working all the muscles that we should. But there's hope for us. And even for doctors Pat Hopkins and Stephen Roberts, they lead a team at Hopkins Medical Group in Greater Boston with a unique and integrated approach to getting us healthy again. Let's start with word association. If I say the word fascia, what comes to mind, Steve?
Meridian.
Very technical.
Fascia, or the other piece I say, when you have a chicken breast, the skin on top, and you lift it up, and the filaments you see, that's part of fascia. That's part of the biologic channel that we thought was just a bystander is now a translator.
People might necessarily think that fascia and musculoskeletal medicine is only about people who have sports injuries or muscle aches or just restricted range of motion, and these are people who need a physical therapist. But really, there's actually implications across just about every type of chronic illness that's out there. And so if you can do therapies to help realign the fascia, to undo the kinks in the sinew, you actually are going to be able to help address a lot more systemic illness and chronic unwellness.
So fascia became a thing maybe 30 years ago where people started paying attention to it, though doctors have paid attention to it for a while.
No, we never paid attention.
You never paid attention
never
to
paid.
Fascia?
Fascia, which I didn't know that fascia can communicate. And when I found that out, it was like so many other parts of my life over the last 10 and 15 years was like, oh my gosh, I've missed all of this. Because when we were in medical school, the patient was dead and dried up and we sliced through it. We wanted to get to the nerves, the arteries, and the bone. We just whipped everything else off. Skin, muscle, tendon, gone. I mean, you learn the muscles.
Well, when did it change? When did fascia become the thing that needed to be addressed?
I don't know that the medical community really has changed. Because
it's still not addressed.
We're still not addressing it, to be honest. In fact, all the things that probably are fascia or myofascial, which is, you know, muscle and fascia related type pains, kind of get relegated to just you have a chronic pain condition. And these are patients with these conditions tend to be patients that many doctors will avoid. And it's been actually people outside of the medical community, or at least maybe in the allied health professions, who are really actually taking up the mantle of trying to help people that are having issues with fascia or myofascial pain.
I discovered fascia at my 50th birthday party when I woke up the day after and couldn't walk.
What were you feeling?
I was dancing way too long in too high heels, and both my knees, after 30 years of running, were not going to take me over the threshold of 50, and I couldn't walk. My back was out, and I was like, oh my goodness, what am I going to do?
It's something that happens with age.
Aging and flexibility. Who hasn't watched or assisted their parents getting into their car or watched them give up all their activities? I can't get on a bike anymore. So balance. So my first path was, I have to achieve balance. And how do I achieve balance? Going to understand balance is to understand fascia. To understand fascia is to understand muscle. And I kept backing down or backing into the rabbit hole of how I was going to get myself back to running. And then having four kids that were in athletics and understanding that trainers varied in how they trained, that injuries were considered just par for the course if you're going to be an athlete. And that was really the beginning of me looking around going, one, I don't want to age and be bent over and can't do what I want to. And two, I have to protect my kids.
There are times when I'm tight and I just think there's no end in sight. And the foam roller becomes my best friend and worst friend. Is it possible to be cured of tight fascia?
Yes.
Walk us through it.
Personally, that aha moment came 8 years after working on my fascia. And I started in yoga and then moved into resistance stretching. And the day I felt the fascia in my entire lumbar spine slide. I could actually hear the clicking inside my ear of my lower back facet joints, the joints that create flexibility. They hadn't clicked since I was six. So after 8 years, three times a week, hour and a half each session, doing flexibility work, the moment I felt that, it was as if I rose from the dead and said, you can conformationally change yourself after 50. That was a revelation.
I have to say, I'm actually really excited to hear the rest of this podcast and where it's going, because I actually haven't been cured of my fascia ailments and what may or may not be muscle ailments with it as well. But, you know, I was very passionate about running, was competitive, and I've been pretty much taken out of that for the last 10 years. And I still feel and I hope look like a fairly young guy, but I feel like I've been, at the age of 25, I was almost like 70 years old in terms of how tight my hamstrings were and how I would walk around the house hunched over a little bit because of how tight things were for me. And I've definitely gone down the pathway of trying to do yoga regularly, you know, the rolling things. Yeah, I would try and do that. Didn't help a lick on my legs because it didn't loosen them up at all anymore because it just moved as one giant unit together. Now, I've gone down the route of looking at trigger points, which is really more inside the muscle, and I probably haven't given as much attention to the fascia itself. And this is definitely an area that I'm moving more into in terms of trying to get my own self-care, giving that some time, because if I really want to be able to, you know, take advantage and be able to start getting out there and doing more competitive running without getting injured all the time now, I'm very hopeful that this is an area that might have some answers for me.
What I'm reading about fascia and improving it is that you just can't stretch. You also have to strengthen.
When I started yoga, it was finding that balance, that half of every exercise was based on using the opposite muscle. So using the back, the side, the front, all the planes, also in the obliques. When you're doing that repeatedly, the fascia will start to expand to accommodate that new order, world order of your muscles. Therapists working on your muscles can change the conformation of the connective tissue.
But it doesn't seem to be a sustained fix, therapists working on the muscles. Am I wrong at that?
Yeah, I think it's the work you do in between. It's why we see stand-up desks. It's why we're going to, I just tell everyone, you know, walking's still the best exercise. Because you're not overdriving the anterior force. You know, if I was a sprinter, I ran the 100, the 200, 600 relay. It was all forward. You're working on your hip flexor, getting that as snappy as possible.
To Pat's point about, you know, people standing more, having standing desks and treadmill desks, you know, part of my issue, and it's common with runners, is actually underdevelopment of glutes. And that has to do with some of the different anatomic drivetrains and how fascia kind of wraps itself over the muscles and it goes up the body, so that things that are happening with posture related issues and your how you ergonomically hold yourself actually can cause long-term issues with your fascia. So you may work on that for 30 minutes with your therapist however many times a week, but then your whole body is working against it all hours the rest of the day, 7 days a week, if you're not actually addressing these other posture related issues.
Stretching, the idea of stretching is, think of it as, I open the door, I'm going to push the door more open. So people think of, I'm going to stretch my arm over my head and stretch it more over my head. Eccentric resistance is, I'm actually going to contract my arm and someone else is going to stretch the muscle in contraction. Opposite of what we normally think of. What you're stretching is your tendon, and you're going to tear it if you stretch too much. If you stretch in contraction, you can't tear your tendon.
So the resistance is what is going to loosen our fascia?
Yes. Because in that contracted state, you're pushing the fascia open, the net around your tenderloin.
So if I'm just stretching, trying to release this tension, it is not a surprise that I'm not getting any better.
You're not going to get anywhere.
This is really depressing.
You've been doing it all wrong all this time.
Hi, it's Ted taking a second to remind you that the Genius of Wellness is your place for interesting podcasts, tips for healthy living, and doctors who provide a personalized approach to healthcare. You can find it all, plus schedule an appointment at thegeniusofwellness.org. Now back to our conversation.
When you address fascia issues, it can also actually address other chronic systems, because fascia surrounds visceral organs.
My husband had bladder issues after bladder cancer. and he just had bladder spasms.
Isn't there a HIPAA law here that you shouldn't be talking about your husband's bladder?
Well, he signed off.
That was in the marriage vows.
It was in the marriage vows. You know, what stays at home doesn't stay at home. So we actually stretched his bladder meridian. And after, I don't know, six sessions, and they're about 2 or 3 hours long, you come out of there, nothing feels the same as it was when you went in. And his bladder spasm went away.
Why I find this so interesting is because while I was in undergrad and med school doing my anatomy classes, where we ripped through the fascia like packaging on a like a Christmas gift to get to the interesting stuff, the muscles and everything underneath, you know, my sister was in osteopathy school in England, and she was talking about fascia in a much different way. And they had special speakers coming in and talking about how they actually tried dissecting their cadavers in a way where they were trying to preserve the fascia very, very meticulously. And they actually were thinking that they had found physical evidence of what they thought were actually a meridian system. Now, I don't know that that's actually necessarily been validated, but there certainly is a lot of talk in the acupuncture and Chinese medicine world that you really can't have it without really having a nice, healthy connective tissue matrix and fascia system.
You know, Mei Wan Ho has written about this. And she wrote the book, The Rainbow and the Worm, which was looking at the acupuncture channels as a quantum physicist. And when you understand that what we knew in ancient medical practices had their place, that we are beginning to just explain through quantum physics, that's pretty exciting stuff.
So the bottom line is that to address tight fascia, we need to be doing resistant stretching.
That's one modality.
Another?
Ida Rolf would say Rolfing, which is physically pressing on the muscle until you see conformational change in the fascia, looking at your connective tissue and rebalancing it.
And the time it takes to correct tight fascia, what would you say if you commit to this?
Well, if you do the Rolfing method, I know Eli Thompson would say you've got to commit monthly for probably a year. And my son does eccentric resistance and stretching. He goes once a month.
And there are exercises you can perform just sitting down or lying
yep.
down. Seems simple. Let's get to work.
Yeah.
Great conversation. Thanks, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to The Genius of Wellness. If you like our podcast, do us a favor. Share it with your friends and family and write a review on this podcast channel. It'll help more people find us. The Genius of Wellness is brought to you by Hopkins Medical Group, serving patients in Greater Boston with a personalized approach to healthcare. Learn more at thegeniusofwellness.org. I'm Ted Canova. See you next time.